This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, we're shaping up with something quite interesting with the upcoming visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu to the US. We understand that he's due to travel to meet with President Trump towards the end of this month. I'm not quite sure how that's going to fit in with the holiday season. And according to what I've heard recently, he's due to meet with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, which is President Trump's home in Florida. But amongst other things, the prime minister is expected to spend 8 days in the U.S. all in all, and he is planning to visit New York City. And of course, that comes against the background of the mayor-elect Mamdani threatening to arrest Netanyahu if he comes to New York City. So that's going to be an interesting showdown, because it seems as if though the prime minister is determined to go to New York in spite of the threat to arrest him. I don't think that Mamdani actually has any authority. I don't think that jurisdiction to arrest the prime minister when he comes to New York. But nonetheless, this is going to be a very, very interesting showdown indeed.
Wow. And it almost seems to be deliberate to show that he doesn't have that power. But maybe I'm reading too much into it. It'll be fascinating to
see. I think that there's an acted, a deliberate action. Absolutely, I think so. Our President Herzog was in New York over the last few days and addressed the fact that Mamdani, I mean, he didn't mention him by name, but said that, you know, the mayor-elect is obviously someone who's very anti-Israel. He gave an address to Yeshiva University in New York. It was very interesting the way that he absolutely confronted this issue head on while in New York City, which surprised me a little. But I suppose on the other hand, one has to do this, right?
Absolutely. Let's see how this one plays out. Also, we have to see how this plays out. Is Storm Byron expected to hit Israel later today? Winds, rain, flooding expected. How does Israel prepare for such an event?
Well, this is really in the news more than anything else, and that's despite the fact that we still have our hostage Rangvili in Gaza, and we shouldn't be allowed for a moment to forget that he should come home as well. But of course, the storm is definitely top of the news agenda today, especially with a very overcast conditions. We've already had quite a lot of rain and some windy conditions, and the storm is set to hit. And the way that Israel prepares itself for such an event is to send out really, really extreme WhatsApp messages saying that this is like the worst storm in 250 years. Now, if I work back 250 years, and I think we might get back to the Ottoman period, I doubt very much that there were records about the storms that occurred in those days. So I think there is a lot of exaggeration going on about the storm and exactly what's expected. Clearly, there will be high winds. Clearly, the weather will not be fun. It is certainly cooler than it has been. And we're expecting a lot of rain and potentially some flooding as well, because, you know, inevitably in Israel, we either get no rain or we get way too much rain, but we never seem somehow to find an even balance to get just enough without causing too much flooding. So there will be flooding. There will certainly be disruption. And it's interesting that the storm has a name, Byron, and this comes out of the cooperation that was a relatively recent thing between Greece, Cyprus, and Israel Where they are now cooperating meteorologically and naming different weather systems according to an alternate naming convention. So the way that the names work is that each country, each of Israel, Cyprus, and Greece have a turn to give a name to a storm system. And though the names are consecutively male and female, so we switch between male and female names, and all the names for this season have already been determined, and every country has had their chance to add a name every third one, and of course it goes alphabetically, that goes without saying. And Byron, and of course the names have to be acceptable in all three countries, that everybody can pronounce and spell them quite easily in the different languages. So Byron is the name that was given by the Greeks. And I was listening to the radio this morning, and the presenters on the radio said they think that Byron is like a white, very, very manly male.
Oh, I think it's like a white, straight, non-manly male. I think Byron's a drip.
Okay, so this is not going to be a drip, but they thought that it presented a very strong sort of name. Interestingly, the first storm system, which we hardly heard about, was Storm Adele, and that was Israel's name. Byron is Greece's name, and it's interesting to know what Israel's names are moving forward, because D is for Israel, and the name David has been given for D, and the name Gaia is the Israeli name for G, and we can roll forward J has been given by Israel's name as well, that's Jonathan, and we can roll forward right to the end where apparently Yuval is Israel's last name in the alphabet, although I doubt that we'll actually get to that. And so everybody is very much hyped up about the storm, a lot of nervousness, people wondering whether buildings will be able to withstand the winds and the amount of rain that we're expecting. I think there's a lot of exaggeration, and this is unfortunate because people are a little scared about what to expect over the coming days. But I suspect that by the time I speak to you tomorrow, the worst of it will be over. I do know that Storm Byron has already passed through Greece and it's left quite a lot of damage and destruction. People even killed with the rain and the winds that were experienced in Greece. So we are certainly expecting some quite serious weather. And of course, there is a concern about what's going on in Gaza and other parts of the area where people are not necessarily well prepared to be able to be protected against the system. But of course, everybody's doing whatever they can to make sure that we're all safe and well. And hopefully people are getting their flu injections, because we're also experiencing a real tough flu season. People have been very ill. A number of people have been hospitalized with the flu. And so this is a really tough flu season. And Israel is one of those countries that does like to vaccinate against flu. So hopefully those who are at least at risk will have had their flu injections, because apparently we're in a very serious flu, almost epidemic. I don't know if the word epidemic has been used, but it seems to be a little bit more than what we usually experience on an annual basis.
Yeah, we have. We were feeling it here as well. A lot of people who have been traveling to Israel now that have come back, there's been quite a concern around the amount of, I think it's influenza A, that they are, that people are suffering from in Israel and actually bringing here to South Africa. So it definitely has been a bit of a concern here as well, because they say it's a particularly aggressive strain this year.
Right. And a lot of people, as I say, a number of people have been hospitalized. So it is much more serious than we've had in recent years.
Let's talk Eurovision. So a vote taken by Eurovision countries has resulted in Israel being allowed to participate in the next Eurovision. What does this mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it really means, because I think the Eurovision, which started out once upon a time as a singing competition, has sort of degenerated into something that is really no longer about the singing, and it's a lot more about the politics that goes around it. I mean, I do know, for example, that even in the early days, it was obvious that certain countries like Greece would vote for Cyprus and Cyprus would vote for Greece, and that was always obvious no matter what the quality of the song was. And so there were some early signs of politics even in those days. But these days, it's really become much more of a political event rather than a singing competition. And I think that that's a little unfortunate because that was never really the intention of the Eurovision. But the Eurovision is due to be held early next year in Austria. And a number of countries had stood up and said that Israel shouldn't be allowed to participate. And a vote was actually held at the General Assembly of the European Broadcasting Union, which is apparently where these kind of decisions are made. And apparently there are 56 countries that make up the General Assembly of the European Broadcasting Union. And there were quite a number of countries who felt that Israel should not be allowed to participate due to actions and events that took place in the war in Gaza, which seems, I don't even need to comment about that because we know what the international community's reaction has been to many of the events in Gaza. And while the war in Gaza has not been fun, and I don't want to suggest for a moment that civilians in Gaza have, you know, been well treated and Not at all. But I think that laying the blame of that at Israel's door is a little disparaging. I think that, the reality of it, as we know, is that Israel did not start this war, that Israel is simply defending itself. And in order to defend itself, unfortunately, war means that people get hurt, people get killed, people are displaced, civilians get caught up. And there is a term, collateral damage, that has been termed not by us, but by other parties, which is used because stuff happens in war that is not fun and not intended, but war is war and war is a tough place. So I think that this is all a little disparaging, a little unfair from the European Broadcasting Union. But nonetheless, ultimately the vote came out, and the result was that most of the members thought that Israel should be allowed to participate, which of course then immediately triggered four countries deciding to immediately withdraw from their participation in the event next year. And that was Netherlands, Spain, Ireland, and Slovenia. Interestingly, those are the four countries that said, oh, if Israel's here, then we're not going to come along. It was interesting as well that there were a number of countries that said that if Israel was voted out, that they would also walk away with Israel. So this has become a very, very political hot potato. The fact that Israel has been allowed to participate, I think, is an interesting decision and sort of pleasing in a way. I think that Israelis were happy that that's what came out of it. Is it really significant in the overall scheme of things? Absolutely not. Is it really important that Israel participates in the Eurovision? I personally don't think so, but maybe others will disagree with me. But I think it does sort of reflect the opinion of what's going on in the international community. And that opinion seems to me, at least now, to be mostly supportive of Israel. However, some people feel so strongly that even though the majority said yes, they're not going to be part of it. So that's the way that I kind of interpret all of this.
And then finally, let's talk about the IDF having established a new Haredi elite commando unit. How significant is this?
I think this is massively significant, and of course it comes against the backdrop of all the drama that's going on about the ultra-Orthodox draft to the IDF. And this shows the IDF's commitment to accepting ultra-Orthodox soldiers and to accommodate whatever they need while also making them really elite fighting soldiers. So the message here from the IDF is we are not recruiting the ultra-Orthodox youth in order to make up numbers or to do menial tasks. That's not our intention. We've established this thing called the Hashmonaim Brigade, which is an ultra-Orthodox brigade which accommodates the lifestyle and all of the demands of the ultra-Orthodox soldiers. And now, under the auspices of the Hashmonaim Brigade, there is also going to be set up the Hashmonaim Commando Unit, which is going to be a reconnaissance unit. It will be trained by IDF veterans and commandos who have previously been involved with training and previously led other elite commando units. And this new commando unit will adhere strictly to the religious framework required by ultra-Orthodox soldiers, which means daily study of Torah, daily prayer services, what the IDF is calling culturally appropriate programming. You can interpret that term to mean however you see fit, whether all the things that are slightly different that the ultra-Orthodox community wish to adhere to, while also training them to be really top-notch commando soldiers. That apparently is something which all can fit together within this new commando unit. So I think that this is a great step forward. I think that it's a great message that's being sent out by the IDF. They've even advertised some of the things that the training will include. It will be counterterrorism, it will be field warfare, advanced combat exercises. There will be specific weapon systems that these commando units will be trained to use and will be able to use. So I think that this is all great education for those individuals while also adhering to their religious lifestyle. And I think that this is definitely the way forward. And I'm hoping that this announcement may well be influential in persuading our politicians to, in fact, insist that ultra-Orthodox soldiers do draft to the IDF. We need them. We've set up the commando unit. We've set up the Hashmonaim Brigade. Their needs are being accommodated. There seems to me to be little reason why they shouldn't be drafted. What do you think?
What do you think? 061-895-1019. I'd love to hear from you. That was the Israel Report with Anthony Reich. We can catch Anthony tomorrow morning for the Israel Report once again at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.